Philadelphia is grappling with gentrification. As certain neighborhoods have become more attractive, real estate costs have risen, the vibe of some communities has been altered, and the change has produced winners and losers. WHYY is examining the issue from a number of different aspects in a new series called Gentrified, Stories from Rapidly Changing Philadelphia. I'm joined now by reporters Jim Saxa and Jake Bloomgard from our Plan Philly team. They've dug through Philadelphia history to examine how and why neighborhoods gentrify. Jim, Jake, welcome to Newsworks Tonight.
Hey, Dave.
Thank you.
In the setup piece for the series, you note that gentrification is well underway in Philadelphia.
That's right. We look at one of the first neighborhoods to change like this here in the city, and that's the Society Hill neighborhood, which is now an upscale neighborhood between Independence Hall and South Street, but it used to look more like a slum.
Things really started to change back in the 60s.
And unlike a lot of the neighborhood change we see now, this was planned. Back then it was called urban renewal, and it was seen as a positive thing among city politicians.
Yeah, it was a way to fight back against white flight. The mass exodus to the suburbs that was a defining feature of just about every American city after World War II. Back then, cities were cramped, polluted, filled with crime. Most people who had the means to move to the burbs did. City living back then could be pretty rough.
Harsh but fair. And because of the redlining and other racist practices, it was much harder for blacks and Latinos to move to the suburbs.
So what changed?
Cities did, especially neighborhoods like Society Hill. We talked to a guy who's seen how Society Hill went from one of the poorest neighborhoods to one of the poshest. Harry Schwartz is 83.
We're talking about the 40s, and there were small merchants, a lot of vacant buildings.
Schwartz grew up near Hunting Park. Back then, that was a fairly well-off, mostly Jewish neighborhood. And Society Hill was a rundown, dirty neighborhood. He'd pass through when his mother would take him to his lessons at the Settlement Music School.
And in order to bribe me to be willing to go, she would give me lunch at the famous 4th Street Deli.
So what happened? What changed?
The city decided they wanted to make Society Hill a nice neighborhood for, well, the blue bloods and the wealthy. So they used condemnation to clear the slums. They shut down a huge food warehouse that attracted a lot of rats. And they rehabbed some of the historic townhomes.
And it worked. Mayor Richardson Dilworth moved his family and convinced a few other blue blood families to move with him. And soon they're joined by artists, and then after that, lawyers and doctors like Schwartz and his pediatrician wife. Schwartz worked at Decker, one of the city's biggest law firms.
They were downtown. I could walk there. I could ride there on my bicycle. It was considered weird to ride a bicycle to work.
You know, that sounds pretty similar to what many millennials say today about why they live in the city.
And it is. One of the big questions with gentrification is why people have been moving back to the inner city. Some people have always preferred city life, like the Schwartzes. And researchers think even more people prefer it today. But cities themselves have also changed.
That's exactly right. Schwartz moved to the neighborhood around the time that Congress expanded the Clean Air Act and passed the Clean Water Act. Before those laws, the rivers used to reek. The Schuylkill even caught on fire. And then, in the 1990s, crime started to fall really dramatically. And then the widespread use of the internet brought more jobs downtown.
All those variables, I'm sure, made city living more attractive.
Exactly. We asked Ken Steiff why cities like Philly are booming. Steiff's a professor of spatial analytics at the University of Pennsylvania.
The very simple reason for gentrification is that people love to live in cities. Cities are great places. They are vibrant places. They are places with great density of interesting people and things to do.
Let's note there's a downside to all of this. Gentrification boosts property values. That drives up rents and real estate taxes. And can't that force lower-income residents to have to move?
Yeah, so what we know now, what the research tells us, is that gentrification creates some winners and some losers among the incumbent residents, the people that are living there today. But Steiff says that we're not sure if that's a net positive or a net negative.
I don't think we've done a good job in understanding which moves are the result of that negative kind of displacement and which are people willfully selling their home and taking a profit.
So we know there are some losers, and the pain in some communities that are undergoing rapid change is real. Claudia Sherrod is the outgoing director of a social service nonprofit in South Philadelphia. She's upset with the pace of development in neighborhoods like Point Breeze.
The disrespect, the condescending expressions of developers who don't give a darn about this community have to be stopped. No one have no interest in how the character of the community was.
But we also know that there are some things that can be done to limit the people who lose out from gentrification.
So we could start building more affordable housing, or we could help residents fix up their homes in case they want to sell. We could also change the zoning in the city to allow people to build a lot more housing, which would, in theory, drive down the price over time.
Yeah, but there isn't a lot of policy coordination. Like, there's the Housing Authority, the Redevelopment Authority, the Land Bank, the Planning Commission, LNI, City Council, state government, federal government. It's a lot of people, but they, in theory, they could all be working together, but it just doesn't seem to be a priority for them.
Right. And if they can't figure out how to work together, then housing prices are just going to continue to rise. Here's Stife again.
If you look at cities like New York and San Francisco that were in similar places 30 years ago, trying to find equity in those cities nowadays is almost a lost cause. Philadelphia still has some time.
So we really have to figure this out now, or more and more of the city could end up like Society Hill, which is really, really nice, but really, really expensive.
That's Plan Philly's Jim Saxa and Jake Bloomgaard. Thanks for joining us, Jim and Jake.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.